Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Thank you.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Jbeli and I have with me a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Vikash. My name is Vikash Bhai and I'm an actor.
And how did you get into acting?
Good question. Sort of a different way, I suppose, to how most people usually get into acting, which is, and by that I mean going to drama school and getting the sort of 3 years training and getting an agent after that and all that sort of stuff. So I wasn't fortunate enough to do that. I grew up in a single parent household. Things were always quite tight. And so the idea of traveling from Leicester, which is where I grew up, to London for various auditions and paying for that and thing and et cetera, just seemed like way out of reach. So my entry into this world was really through, I guess, the generosity of people I knew in the Midlands. I worked with various different amateur theatre companies growing up. And when I got into my 20s, I started working with lots of different theatre and education companies. I don't know if there is still a lot of theatre and education going on. I mean, probably not now because of COVID. But yeah, so that's where I started. And I worked with a writer-director called Jess Simons in Leicester. And he worked a lot with professional actors and aspiring actors. And that's kind of where I cut my teeth on stage, really.
No, that's really interesting. It's very similar to my journey, actually.
All right.
Yeah. I went into the kind of free indie projects, you know, like I did quite a bit of like unpaid acting work and stuff like that to kind of build a showreel. Talking of showreels, how did you find that whole thing, like getting footage together? I think that can be a big challenge for a lot of actors.
It was, and it was one of the biggest challenges I had for a long time. Coming from a theatre background and really only doing a lot of theatre for the most part of my career meant that there really wasn't much footage. And so until I moved to London, and in fact, really until I signed with my current agent, Sarah Sedov at Core Management, because she started to open doors for me that hadn't been opened before, and I began to book jobs, and so I started to compile this stuff, you know, that I've been yearning for years. Like, where is it? So yeah, so that's in answer to your question. Really tough, really really hard.
How many years did it take you to get it all, you know, to get to that point where you were getting paid work?
Paid work was quite early on. So, but that, I mean, and by that, I mean in theatre.
Ah, okay.
The IE work and theatre work and things like that. So as a paid stage actor, probably around in my 20s, my early 20s. And then it wasn't until actually I moved to London from the Midlands back in 2012. Actually, in fact, that's, I tell a lie. So like, it was 2014 was when I think I had my first paid screen job, which was on BBC's Doctors.
Yeah. I mean, TIE, I remember all the, you know, all the casting calls for that, you know, and like Mandy and things like that. And it was really popular. It was more popular down in England, so it would have been a case of me, you know, moving down there for that. I didn't go for it because they always required like musical theatre. Are you quite musical theatre background as well, or are you more like traditional theatre?
The theatre and education work that I was doing, they didn't really need me to do much musical theatre. What we're often asking for was character-based work, more, I guess, along the lines of character acting and physical theatre and more down the sort of that way of performance. So and that's where I kind of want to focus most of the stuff that I do.
So tell us about some of the roles that you've had, not necessarily the most fun, but maybe like the most memorable. Like what have you done recently that you're like, I'm so glad I'm part of this?
I'd have to say Limbo, which comes out on the 9th of April, has been by far to date most wonderful project that I've been a part of. From the page to putting it on its feet, the people that I worked with, I've absolutely enjoyed every single moment of it. And getting to play the character that I did get to play, Farhad, alongside the incredibly talented Mr. Amir Masri, who plays Omar, and working with Ben Sherrock, just, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. It was, yeah, it's been my favorite thing to do today.
One wrong step and they would deport us.
You ever think about who you were before all of this?
I cannot be myself back home.
In Syria, very famous.
Maybe a little
Maybe I could be your agent.
Like Tom Cruise with Jerry Maguire.
Was there something specifically about the story that attracted you to that?
It had so much heart from the moment I kid you not, it was one of those scripts I read, and upon reading it, I said to my wife, I have to do this. I just have to do this. And I just put every ounce of energy and thought and will the universe to make it happen. And by God, it was a tough process. I think I must have auditioned about 10, 7 times, recalls and screen tests and then more recalls and then kind of tweaking things. And, you know, all the while, Ben encouraging me and really being in my corner and saying, look, this, we just need to tweak these few things. And, you know, I think we're there. It was, you know, jumping through hoops and whatever, but got there in the end.
Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
Sure. So I play Farhad, who is Freddie Mercury super fan who has traveled from Afghanistan to seek asylum. We meet Farhad in limbo, I guess, on this sort of remote Scottish island where he's befriended Omar, who's the protagonist whose story we follow. And he lives with Omar in a house share with two other young men, played by Ola Oberi and Kwabena Ansah, who play Wasif and Abedi. And so these four characters, we meet them and we see how life plays out in limbo, really.
What instrument is that anyway?
It's like a guitar.
Oh, we should organize a concert and we could have a finger buffet at the interval.
On behalf of my client, I think this is a very good idea.
Yeah, it's quite dark comedy. Like, I enjoyed it.
Oh, wow, thank you.
I have been on Twitter excited about this film for quite a while because as soon as I heard what it was about, plot, my family, half of my family are immigrants as well. I'm really curious to see what story they tell because everyone has their own experiences. But I, you know, I grew up also in a really small town.
Yeah.
Where, you know, some of those awful words that are mentioned in the film are just common speech. You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily like, mm-hmm. They don't think that they're being racist, but they are. You know what I mean? It depends. I mean, I had like a very bad experience of racism in Scotland just because of where I grew up. But then if I think about Aberdeen, for example, which is a city and it's a bit more metropolitan, or Edinburgh, those experiences wouldn't have been the same. And now nobody even notices that I am mixed race at all. You right. know, like they're clueless. They see white skin and hear a Scottish accent and go, okay, right?
Yeah,
I was intrigued, but also I thought that it was actually a really good portrayal. It was, you know, quite authentic. There were, you know, there are some people who mean it hatefully and there are some people who don't. They are just genuinely quite ignorant, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Was it your parents who came in from Tunisia?
Yeah. So my father is Tunisian, but my mom is Scottish, so I'm half and half. And you know, we were raised here, and you know, so in a small town, I mean, yeah, my dad was considered black and he's not black, you know what I mean? So it was that level of ignorance that I'm talking about, you know. So
do you speak to him much about his journey, his experience of moving over here?
Yeah, I know all about it. I mean, we were like, our whole family were kind of persecuted in the town, to be honest, for being mixed or, you know, being different. So
right.
But yeah, like I remember my dad couldn't go to the pub without somebody trying to fight with him because, you know, they didn't like him because of his color. You know, it was really
right, yeah,
really severe.
That's horrible.
Yeah, but it's so different now, you know. Like, I'm not saying it's perfect, there's still a ways to go. I don't like it when people act like racism doesn't exist in the UK anymore, because it thoroughly does. But it is a lot better now, definitely. I think it's really important to hear those stories, you know what I mean, and to see how things are evolving over time, you know. Did you have any kind of experience growing up in Leicester, obviously, being of colour?
There were some instances, not a lot. I was fortunate enough to live in an area where it was predominantly Indian. And so the racism when I was growing up was few and far between. It existed. It was around in pockets, and we knew that there were certain areas best not to visit because it would just be dangerous. And, you know, opportunists would try and steal your bike or try and, you know, pull a knife to you and just take your wallet or, you know, and these sorts of things did happen. I don't think there's, and in Leicester, there was a lot of work to try and tackle racism, whether it was through football or through the arts or various other initiatives that were done through the council. And it did get better. And I think it's, I mean, I've not been back for a while, so I don't know now. And especially with the COVID situation, things are very different, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think things have really have moved on, especially from when I was growing up. I mean, my mum came over to the UK when I want to say maybe when she was 20, and not by choice. You know, it was an arranged marriage, and she wasn't happy about it from the beginning. And but you know, family knows best, and so you have to do what your family says. And so, but she did. You know, she came over here, and it was tough. It was very, very hard. The marriage didn't last. And so then she was in this foreign country on her own, raising this child of four, didn't really speak much English. And you know, I think just going back to the film, one of the things that I had quite closely as an inspiration to kind of help me tap in as a way into Farhad was really my mum's way of being, where she's, despite her having been through whatever it is she's been through throughout her life, she's always had hope and she's always put on a brave face. And you would never know to meet her that this is a woman who's faced any kind of hardship and raised this young man. And but her way of being positive despite anything, no matter whatever happened, she'd always try and see the bright side of the situation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, there are still situations. I mean, I've been in one even recently in the workplace. It wasn't against me, but they were saying something about a customer who was of African descent. But I mean, take from that what you will, because I'm from African descent, and that obviously doesn't mean just black. But I mean, I think that she's referring to black Africans. But she said something really terrible anyway, saying something about African people, and I just turned around and I was like, I'm sorry, are you categorizing me there as well? And she was like, well, no, you're not, you're like, you know. And I went, what, not brown? That means I'm okay, thank you for that pass.
I said, well done to you for saying something, because often in these situations you want to say something but you just close up, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I do now, though, to be honest. I'm very outspoken, I don't care, to be honest. Yeah, there's no excuse for it. If you need to be educated, I'm happy to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, obviously, with your acting journey, what kind of things are you looking at doing next?
Well, I guess anything that comes my way. Does that sound too desperate? I mean, I've got some things coming up, which has been great. I'm not actually sure what I can and can't say. But there's some exciting things that are happening at the moment, which is wonderful. I'm going to be working with a lovely director on a really cool project. So that's due to start soon, depending on COVID delays, of course. So we'll be doing that soon. Apart from that, I mean, I love character work. So for me, anything that's got something for me to unpack and like create something. When I was growing up, a lot of my inspirations came from people like Jim Carrey and Robin Williams, and also watching a lot of Bollywood films, because that's what my mom was into. So, you know, I'd be watching people like Anil Kapoor and Anupam Kher and Amitabh Bachchan, these guys who absolute legends in the Bollywood world, and also amazing character actors. So, yes, that's what I want to do. Whoever is out there, employ me to do some character work.
So do you quite like doing accents and things like that? Have you done like voice acting, for example?
I've not actually done any voice acting. I that's something else I'd love to do. And, you know, kind of be immortalized in a cartoon or for a game or something. But I do like doing accents. I can't do an accent off the cuff, if you were to say kind of, and in fact, One of the hardest accents I find anyway is the South African accent. I've tried for so long, right?
I'm in total agreement. The two accents that I find the most difficult would be South African and Australian. And I think it's for kind of similar reasons in that their accent varies so much. Like, you know, it's just so, I don't know, you think you've got a sound down, but then in another word, it completely changes and it just boggles my mind.
Just throws you, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. But then other accents, you know, I can pick up no bother. So it just depends. How do you go about getting your accent for this one? You know, for Han,
there were quite a few different things that we did to kind of to get the accent. So production were kind enough to put me in touch with the Afghan society, and where I started to learn to speak Dari. I think I must have spent about a month doing this. You don't ask me to speak any now because I won't remember a thing apart from maybe Tashakur, which I think means thank you. I met these chaps and I'd record all of the conversations that we were having, and I'd hear them speak. I try to emulate that. There's a great resource online called International Dialects and Something Archive. International Dialects English Archive, I think, something like that, which is a great resource for anybody who's out there who's ever trying to work out an accent. There's a piece of text, the same text every time, and it's read in various different accents. So you can access that. And so I use that and use this. And we also had an accent coach on board who I'd meet regularly to fine-tune bits after we'd done some rehearsal. Then we'd come back and we'd either do like a phone call or we'd meet for a coffee, and when we could meet for coffees. And work through that.
But yeah, so obviously we've only got a couple of minutes left. If you were to give any advice, you know, to a aspiring actor that's coming up, what would it be?
Wow, really good question. What would I say? I would say put the work in, prepare as much as you can. I don't think you can ever prepare enough. I mean, you can maybe prepare too much and be exhausted, but I think always try and put as much work in as possible, and persevere. I think you just don't know who's watching and who's seen your stuff, and doors will open for you, but you just have to just be ready, be prepared for when that call comes that you're ready to go. I'd also say find different interests, you know, take up a new hobby, keep yourself and your brain active and engaged with something, whether it be some sports or learning to play chess or painting, whatever it might be. And speak to as many people as you can. You know, even if you're on the bus and you meet a complete stranger, be interested in their story, because you just don't know when these moments might tweak something when you're creating a character or something.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.